The Let's Go Brandon phase is sweeping the country, and it says a lot about Joe Biden and fake news. California has a new gender-neutral law for businesses. Plus, even though Mitch McConnell caved, the Democrats are still in disarray. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Monday. I hope you had a great weekend. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Joe Biden and a phrase that is now sweeping the nation. And it is a reflection not only of Biden's failed leadership, but it's also an example of fake news gone crazy. Now, it seems honest reporting, no matter how unpleasant it might be for some, is just dead. Rather than reporting the truth and letting people decide if they agree or disagree, the news is now spun in such a way that actual truth disappears. And that's what leads us to the slogan, Let's Go Brandon. And as Inigo Montoya said in The Princess Bride, it doesn't mean what you think it means. Starting with college football games and spreading like wildfire to include events such as golf's Ryder Cup and NASCAR races, fans in the stands have been chanting F Joe Biden. We've seen it and heard it at countless college football games. It's clear, it's loud and obvious, and it's driven by the fact that Joe Biden has failed on every major issue. The polls reflect his lack of leadership, and Americans have had enough. So the chance began, and that's what brings us to October 2nd in the NASCAR race at Talladega. Following the race, reporter Kelly Stavis interviewed race winner Brandon Brown, and here's what happened.
Oh my God, it's just such an unbelievable moment.
Brandon, you also told me, as you can hear the chants from the crowd, let's go, Brandon. Brandon, you told me you were going to kind of hang back those first two stages and just watch and learn. What did you learn that helped you there in those closing laps?
Oh, my God. It was...
In that moment, a slogan was born. It's clear what the fans were chanting. It's been happening across the country for weeks. But instead of acknowledging what was said, the reporter just made something up. And here's what bothers me about that part. Anyone who has watched sports has seen players and managers and fans say something profane. It's just right there on camera. A baseball manager might be in the face of an umpire saying, F you, you bleep and bleep. And the announcers might say, well, folks, I don't think those two are making plans for family Christmas outings. Or do you think he's asking him about good restaurants in the area? In other words, they try to deflect and make light of the profanity that the audience might be seeing or hearing, but it's clear that we know and the announcers know what's really going on. In this case, the reporter, in all seriousness, just made something up, like we didn't really hear what was actually going on. Well, the Let's Go Brandon phrase is now spreading across the country, and here's the story. Little did NBC NASCAR reporter Kelly Stavis know that she had just launched an instant political sensation last weekend when she said fans were cheering driver Brandon Brown and not shouting a profane anti-Biden chant. Let's Go Brandon has exploded on the right, arming cheeky conservatives with a deceptively innocuous cri de coeur that takes sarcastic swings at Biden and the mainstream media without running afoul of technology censors. Senator Ted Cruz, Texas Republican, gave the catchphrase his seal of approval in a Thursday interview with conservative podcaster Benny Johnson. He said it was one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The clip is surreal, Mr. Cruz said. Listening to the NBC reporter say, look, they're chanting, let's go, Brandon. It captures everything about fake news all at once. Of course, not only has the phrase spread around the country, but it has also inspired countless memes across the internet. It's said that former President Trump has given the slogan his stamp of approval. And then there's been word of a recent meeting with Joe Biden trying to explain things to his old boss. I'm sure you've seen the billboards that are starting to pop up around the country too. I'm told these are particularly popular in Texas border towns. All right, so all joking aside, the phrase Let's Go Brandon has become a rallying cry for conservatives and others who have just had enough. I mean, I have never seen a president fail this miserably on every single issue, and the slogan gives people a way to express their frustration. Here's more. The R-rated anti-Biden chant had been erupting for weeks at sporting events, including the Ryder Cup. Since then, Let's Go Brandon has become the chant of choice. Social media posts indicate fans were shouting the chant Saturday at several college football stadiums. An airplane with Let's Go Brandon Join Getter.com banner flew Saturday above the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines before former President Donald Trump's rally there. The Daily Wire has started selling Let's Go Brandon t-shirts. After the Republican National Committee noted Friday that Republican governors lead the top 10 job creation states, Trump administration official Richard Grenell tweeted, "Let's Go Brandon." So, here's the question. Was Let's Go Brandon just a spur-of-the-moment reaction by the reporter? Did she purposely try to mislead the public? And what do you think about the phrase? Let me know in the comments. All right, so next let's talk about California's new gender-neutral law. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search out my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about California's new gender-neutral law and the fact that, once again, California is leading the nation in driving people out of the state and towards states that are not obsessed with catering to the woke radical left. California's new law will force businesses to create a special area in the stores that is gender-neutral and designed for kids. Here's the story. California on Saturday became the first state to say large department stores must display products like toys and toothbrushes in gender-neutral ways, a win for LGBT advocates who say the pink and blue hues of traditional marketing methods pressure children to conform to gender stereotypes. The new law, signed by Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom, does not outlaw traditional boys and girls sections at department stores. Instead, it says large stores must also have a gender-neutral section to display a reasonable selection of items regardless of whether they have been traditionally marketed for either girls or for boys. The line that should really bother you from that portion of the news story is that some of these groups are saying that marketing methods pressure children to conform to gender stereotypes. Give me a break. The vast, vast, vast majority of children know exactly who they are. Studies show that 90 to 95% of those who are somehow confused grow out of it. So this new law really has nothing to do with children and everything to do with catering to a vocal leftist interest group. Here's more. This is the third time Democrats in the state legislature have tried to pass this law, with similar bills failing in 2019 and 2020. Assemblyman Evan Lowe, a Democrat from San Jose, authored the bill this year. He said he was inspired by the 10-year-old girl daughter of one of his staffers, who asked her mom why certain items in the store were off limits to her because she was a girl. While California is the first state to require this, some large department stores have already changed how they display their products. Target Corporation, with 1,914 stores across the United States, announced in 2015 it would stop using some gender-based signs in its stores. There are boys, and then there are girls. And what's frustrating is that the left will push this notion that there is no difference between the two when it suits their needs, but then change on a dime when differences do suit their needs. All right, so next, even though Mitch McConnell gave the Democrats some breathing room, they still can't get their act together. Trying to pass their massive infrastructure bills has become as hard for the Democrats in Congress to do as it is for Joe Biden to remember who to call on in a press conference. First, here's a recap of Mitch McConnell's actions and the fact that he says he won't do it again. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell on Friday warned President Biden that the GOP won't help in any future effort to mitigate consequences of Democrat mismanagement after agreeing Thursday to allow Democrats to raise the nation's debt limit. Republicans filled the leadership vacuum that has troubled the Senate since January, wrote Mr. McConnell. I will not provide such assistance again if your all-Democrat government drifts into another avoidable crisis. He won't provide it again. The question is, why did he provide it in the first place? The Democrats were on the ropes, and he basically said, oh, you want a timeout? You need to catch your breath? Sure, go ahead. Bad politics, bad leadership. Here's more. Late Thursday, 11 Senate Republicans voted in favor of a procedural step allowing a measure to raise the debt ceiling by $430 billion. The move gave Mr. Schumer, New York Democrat, enough votes to avoid a Republican filibuster and avoid a government default until at least December 3rd. Mr. McConnell has come under heavy criticism from lawmakers in his own party who said he caved to a Democrat threat to eliminate the filibuster. Former President Donald Trump has called for Republicans to replace Mr. McConnell as their leader. So that's what's going on, and Mitch McConnell, along with other senators like Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Rob Portman, and John Cornyn, gave the Democrats a lifeline. We'll see what happens in December. But for now, we have the Democrats trying to pass their spending bills, and it's become the moderates versus the radical left. And here's the story. Democrats will resume negotiations on both the Bipartisan Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act and Build Back Better Act following a two-week period in which Congress temporarily averted a government shutdown and began avoiding a Treasury default. Even as moderates and left-wing members stuck together to fund the federal government and raise the debt ceiling, the sides remain far apart on the size and scope of the Build Back Better Act, which will be passed through the budget reconciliation process. Furthermore, a wave of insults between members and protests by left-wing activist groups have left the two sides mistrustful of each other. The Democrats in the House have a very small majority. In the Senate, it's dead even, with Kamala Harris casting any kind of tie-breaking vote. Joe Biden and his team are praying that anything gets passed because Biden has not been able to show any leadership whatsoever. Republicans in the Senate caved on the smaller infrastructure bill, but now in the House, the radical left-wing portion of the Democrat caucus is refusing to support the smaller bill unless the larger bill gets passed. The larger bill is going nowhere thanks to Democrats like Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema. There's also the politics that the American people don't support these massive spending programs, and pushing this Green New Deal human infrastructure mess could cost Democrats the House. Recent data from the American Action Network suggests that the Build Back Better Act is less popular in some of the swing districts that will decide control of the House of Representatives in the 2022 midterms. The AAN poll conducted in late September found the legislation holds more than 50% disapproval in Iowa's 3rd District, Virginia's 2nd District, and New Jersey's 7th District. I don't think there's any way the Democrats will keep the House. Probably not the Senate either. When we see images of Democrat Kyrsten Sinema being harassed, being chased into a public restroom, the American people get a clear message that the Democrats are controlled by the radical left. All right, so next I want to talk about the most epic football game I've witnessed in my Aggie lifetime. As you'll see, this is not actually a story or a segment about sports, but rather a segment about perspective and priorities. However, as a Texas A&M Aggie, I just have to say that this past Saturday was incredible. We had such high hopes for this season. Our coach, Jimbo Fisher, is the real deal, and he is building something special. I honestly thought that when this past Saturday came around and we played number one ranked Alabama, that we would both be 5-0 and playing for the number one ranking. However, our star quarterback was injured near the beginning of the season, and our backup has been shaky at best. Alabama did come in at 5-0, but at A&M, came in at 3-2. However, everything came together. Our quarterback settled down, and the rest of the team did exactly what we knew they could do. The game went back and forth until, with 2 seconds left in the game, A&M had a chance for a game-winning field goal with kicker Seth Small. Here's how it went down.
From 28 yards away for an Aggie upset win, and it's good! He got it!
It was just incredible. What a win. And did you notice that the first thing the kicker did was point upward? Now, I want to show you this. This is the moments before and during the kick of Seth Small's family, his parents, siblings, and wife. The wife goes nuts. And watch his dad at the end.
You got it! I've got 47!
How awesome. What a great, great moment. And here's the thing. Here's the perspective that I mentioned earlier. Following the game, the kicker, Seth Small, was sitting down for a press conference, clearly happy, but when he's ranked this event in his events of his life, he put it as number three on his list.
It was probably the third best moment of my life, right after I accepted Jesus into my heart as my true Lord and Savior. And then after getting married to my wife this summer, I'd rank this three.
Life is filled with special moments. We should enjoy them, celebrate them, and as we do, we should never forget what is truly important. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Wednesday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.